welcome to the replay with Elle and Al for the week of September 12th.
Wow.
I know.
We're already like halfway.
We're in fall.
We're in fall.
It's October.
It's brisk. I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
I can't even tell you how annoyed I've been. I've been at work. We both have been at work actually pretty late this week. And 3 out of the 4 days this week, I've exited my office and felt legitimately cold.
And been cold.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm not all for that. I'm from Phoenix and we don't get winter until like January.
And your winter is like what, 50 degrees?
No. It gets cold at night, like in the 20s.
Okay, fair.
30s.
I think I would have done well in Phoenix. I don't mind humidity.
I think you could have done well in Phoenix.
Yeah.
You would have survived.
Instead, I'm from Philly.
Right. Ugh. Well, anyway, it has been a big week. We are excited to be back for, they let us back for a second episode on the Friendly
thanks,
Bounce.
Friendly Bounce.
Yeah, thanks for being so friendly, Friendly Bounce. And we are really excited for all of you listeners to be here, for all of our new listeners and all of our old listeners. And we're going to start with not 10 get to know you questions, but a little bit about our lives in general before we get into the heart of the podcast. So Ellie told me that she's had all week been wanting to tell me about her awesome celebrity encounter.
Well, it
was. Who was it?
It was, I had two.
What? In 1 week?
Two encounters yesterday. One celeb spotting, right? And then one celeb encounter.
So how far away is a spotting versus an encounter?
I mean, I walked past this person and we made eye contact and I was like, wait, what?
Wait. So that's a spotting.
That's a spotting.
Wow, so you went more with the encounter.
You could say that.
Okay. All right, hit us. Who was it?
It was Christina Hendricks, who is in Mad Men.
She's with the big boobs.
Yeah.
Was her body as insane in real life?
Well, so I was walking in Midtown West, Hell's Kitchen, to go get lunch.
Yeah.
And she was carrying, like, grocery bags. And I was wearing these kind of, like, crazy pants.
Yeah.
Not, like, really crazy, but, like, really cool, like, printed pants.
Yeah. And Ellie's cool.
And, so she was, you know, people are like, what the fuck's going on with your pants? Like, I know people are looking at the pants. So she's, like, looking at me and looking at my pants. And I'm like, I, like, look up. I'm on the phone with my dad. I look up and I'm like, oh. And I definitely made this face like, oh, you.
That's the best face.
And then we, like, walked past each other and I was just like, I think I just saw someone.
If I were a celebrity, I would wear, like, a GoPro or get my camera out and start an Instagram called People Who Just Saw Me. Because I feel like I do that, too. Like, when I saw Chris Rock, so the face that I make when I see celebrities is a face that is, I know you, but I'm, like, a fan enough and cool enough to not say anything to you because I don't want to disrupt your life.
I usually am like that, but this one was, like, I was just so caught off guard.
Right.
And I also think you and I have pretty expressive faces.
Yeah.
Beautiful expressive faces. So I think that sometimes it's hard for me to be like, to be subtle.
Right. Because my eyes bug out
and I'm like, oh. And then the other person, so for work, I had to cover a Beach Boys concert in Central Park last night.
It's just the best work assignment I've ever had.
I mean, it was until it was raining, like, like a heavy downpour 45 minutes to showtime.
Yeah. Oh, you were, it was.
Oh, I was.
It looked like the end of the world in New York City yesterday afternoon.
I was in the park.
Wow.
Yeah, in the elements. But, that's television.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's the business.
So we're set up right in front of the stage where we did a story on Mike Love and we're getting, you know, shots of him and the band.
Yeah.
And I see this person enter like the backstage VIP area and I'm like, is that? And then it was DJ. It was the actress that played DJ in Full House.
Wow.
Candace Cameron.
Yeah. You know whose sister she is.
Who?
Kirk Cameron from
Growing Pains. Right.
What a family.
So she still looks like she's about 15.
Yeah. Did you talk to her?
I just was like, sorry. And, like, literally hit her with, like, a camera bag. And she's like, all right, see ya. Like, but yeah.
Oh, man. I was expecting that then you went to dinner with the Olsen twins.
It wasn't that. I mean, but it was just, like, such a weird assortment of celebrities,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that is a weird mix.
It was a weird mix.
It's a very weird mix. I'm proud of you for recognizing her.
Yeah, I know. Who didn't watch Full House?
No, I of course, yeah.
It's big.
Right, the biggest.
She looks exactly the same.
Right.
Um, So, question to get to know you.
Yeah.
What was the highlight of your week, Ellie?
Good question. I mean, I feel like I had a great week because I tend to, you know, compare myself to Hillary Clinton. And I didn't, like, that's the bar.
You didn't get pneumonia?
I didn't get pneumonia. I didn't faint in public. And so I think all in all, it was a win. I would say the highlight of my week, honestly, was reading Colin Powell's emails.
Amen.
Because it was really helpful for me to know that secretaries of state, who are very, you know, seemingly important people, really just want to have a couple glasses of wine and bitch about everyone else.
Totally.
It was like, oh, secretaries of state, they're just like us. It was made me very happy. He's an angry, bitter man that I really want to hang out with.
He's
like such a gossip. It was hilarious.
They, like, love to gossip. Maybe it's all the wine.
I would say the main thing, and then we can move on to basketball, is it has made me deeply terrified for my emails being hacked. Like, obviously, at this point in my life, in my career, I am not hack-worthy. Like, WikiLeaks is not coming for me.
I say that now. Just wait.
But if somebody ever hacked my email...
I'd be so screwed. We all would.
But, yeah. I mean, let's just leave it there. Let's just say that we should all make a collective agreement as a society to stop being interested in what is in private emails, because you know that yours are just as bad. So don't throw stones in this very glass email house.
Amen to that.
All right.
I don't think you've ever said a wiser thing.
Thank you. Wow. So speaking of this, this is a pretty related transition into our basketball discussion.
Yeah, which I know you guys are all waiting for because those celeb spottings were not as exciting as I thought they were in my mind. They were so exciting.
They were so exciting. For a young girl who grew up in the 90s, it was the best.
Who doesn't love Mad Men, too?
True. Her body defies gravity, so I would have loved to see it. So, the emails, I think, are an interesting thing where it's like, I had so much fun reading them, mm-hmm. and I would read them all week, all day, every day, because I love knowing things about other people's lives that, like, I seemingly should not. So I think that begs the question, and I think you and I have different opinions on this, how much do you want to know about your NBA players' lives? Like, how much time do you want to spend with them? How are you hanging with them?
I think less is more, personally.
So how are you engaging with them? Like, you watch the games, but then your off-court stuff is mostly what? Their tweeters?
I watch the games.
Do you like their tweeters?
I like their tweeters. I follow their tweeters. No, I follow very select players.
Right. Okay.
Because I don't know. I don't like people that over-tweet, and I feel like some, or over Instagram, or over social media, anything in any way.
Or is this a direct indictment of me?
No.
I feel very accosted in the closet.
No. I just don't, because I like to see people that I know and other things on my social media feeds, sometimes I feel like it gets cluttered with crap from NBA players, not other NBA players, but sometimes I just feel like if you follow too many of these guys, or if you follow some of them that like tweet too much or Instagram too much, I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, it pisses me off. I feel like it clutters everything.
Yeah.
So, and on a personal note, like, I don't need to know like what you're doing every 2 hours of the day.
Mm-hmm. They're heavy. Certainly they're heavy on the social media.
Very. I mean, I feel like TMI.
Right.
On a lot of them.
Whereas I am literally the opposite.
You are. I know you are.
There's a universe in which I would just follow none of my friends on Instagram, and I would only follow celebrities and bloggers and brands. And because I'm vapid.
You could create another account.
I mean, I follow so many of those that my friends get deluded. So apologies to my friends whose photos I never like. It's not because I don't like them. It's just because I literally never see them.
That's what I'm saying. Right. I feel like I miss my friends' crap.
Yeah.
Because King James is like,
right.
Oh, look, I like ran on the treadmill today. Good, you fucking should run on the treadmill. It's your fucking job.
Oh my God, I don't think I've ever seen Ellie get defeated. I love it. But I'm the exact opposite, where I'm like, oh, you ran on the treadmill, but was Savannah there with you? And yeah. where are the boys? Like, are they at school right now? I'm so confused. Who's watching your children? And who's then I want to know. Bronny. Who's watching Bronny? It's true. That never, that's an unanswered question.
I know. You and I are at the opposite.
Well, and the case in point, I did not even have Snapchat until Snapchat basically wooed all of these. It must have been in advance of them knowing that Instagram was about to release a video service that, or a streaming service, mm-hmm. Stories, whatever it's called, that they started, must have paid celebrities to get on Snapchat.
I am anti-Instagram stories.
Well, me too, but I'm anti-Instagram stories because I follow like 1,500 people on Instagram, so it's impossible for me to ever filter through them.
They're also just there's nothing original about it.
Right.
There's absolutely nothing original about
it. I think that Snapchat
must have
signed them and even just paid them like a smallish fee. They got them all on it, and so that's when I joined Snapchat. And I would say, like, literally on Saturday, I feel like I hung out on Friday and Saturday. I feel like I hung out with Dwayne Wade and family.
Totally.
Like, I watched him. I walked with him through the park with his son, where I give him life lessons about, you know, politics.
About whatever.
Yeah. No, about politics. They talked about Trump, and his son had some really cute ideas.
He put this all on Snapchat.
The best part was his son looking at him and being like, why are you always on Snapchat? Basically, like, you don't need to snap all of this. And then Dwayne Wade just kept saying, he never stops talking. It was the most hilarious encounter. Then the next day, both Dwayne Wade and Gabrielle Union were Snapchatting from their kitchen table with both the kids. So I was watching it from two snaps. I was in there. It was like virtual reality. I had two angles.
Oh my God.
So anyway.
He's over the top.
He's over the top. He's got to stop.
I think he's addicted.
He is addicted. He needs an intervention.
I'm going to give one of our listeners a shout out. Haley, one of my friends.
Yes, I know Haley.
Addicted.
Addicted to Snapchat. Wow.
One of my other friends.
That mean she snaps every single thing when you're out?
She like has to stop and snap and snap, and especially like the like selfie, like back and forth to people snap.
It's a really fine line between it's fun and it's
really annoying. It's just interrupts your real life. Mm-hmm. It interrupts your real life at a point.
Stop snapping. Start living.
Amen. That should be a PSA.
Wow, I'm really just like full of it, you know, today. I've got all the advice.
Full of wisdom.
But so before there was Snapchat and Instagram, you had to get to know your celebrities and your NBA players through more conventional means.
Like Us Weekly.
And like the classic medium of the talk show.
Amen.
And so even though there's Snapchat, this week there was a bit of a proliferation of the stars on
NBA stars on talk shows.
Yeah. Partially,
it was a hot week.
Fashion week, so they were all in New York.
Yes.
Because hashtag fashion, hashtag why not.
Hashtag the Brody.
Hashtag fashion king. Hashtag don't hate the Brody. And Ellie and I are I don't know. Are you a big fan of talk shows? Like, what's your feeling on the talk show?
Oh my God, I'm a huge fan of talk shows. I'm a huge fan of late night talk shows.
You're a late night. That's a great distinction. I'm very happy you made it.
I'm a huge fan of the late night talk shows, but it's sad because anymore, again, and I think most people are probably like this. I just end up watching the highlights and like what people put, like on Twitter or on each other's walls.
Well, do you have a television in your bedroom?
Not in my bedroom.
Me either. And that's where I don't think I would ever watch a talk show on my couch. A, because if we're out there, I don't think my roommates love talk shows, but it's kind of a thing that you would like put on your TV while you're going to bed because they're on really late on the East Coast.
That's the thing is they are like it's, I'm hopefully not watching television at 11:35 p.m.
I definitely am, but it's usually on my computer because I've retired to my boudoir. Is that a phrase you can use in this situation?
Boudoir? Is that what you call this place?
Yeah, No, it's called my palace. But, so, in case you didn't realize, we podcast from my bedroom.
And by bedroom, you mean...
The closet inside my bedroom.
Which Allie has a really nice-sized closet for New York City.
Yeah, if you ever need a place to sleep, I think my closet can fit an air mattress.
I think I could fully stretch
just
out
here. Just tweet at me.
Yeah.
Tweet at me,
just
bro.
Just like the pillows in here that you sit on.
So, there were a lot on talk shows. I am a fan of both the late-night talk show, big fan, especially this generation of late night talk shows. I'm obsessed with all the hosts. We've talked about this before.
But the Jimmys.
Like, the Jimmys are just next level.
They're next level.
They're next level.
So you got three Jimmys.
Find me a Jimmy you don't like.
You got three Jimmys, technically, and a Steven.
And Steven's great, too.
It's just like...
I like Trevor.
Trevor's good.
Samantha's good. A true confession.
Seth Meyers.
I haven't watched Chelsea on
I don't have time for that.
Netflix, but... Anyway, but I do confess I am a lover of some daytime talk shows. Really just two.
Which
Maury
are?
And Jerry Springer. I'm just kidding. Do those count as talk shows?
Yes, absolutely. Dr. Phil counts as a talk show.
Dr. Oz.
The View, The Talk.
You mean Dr. Oz, the medical professional of choice of Donald Trump? I'm a fan of Ellen and Kelly. You know I love my girls, Ellen and Kelly.
What do you call... Kelly morning television?
She's a morning talk show.
Okay, that's good. Show. That's good.
Yeah.
I do love Kelly as well.
So, talk shows are clearly near and dear to our heart, and the NBA stars were out in full force on talk shows this week, so
indeed,
we're going to talk about it. And we're going to judge them hard for their performances on talk shows.
Because that's what we do. We judge people.
We judge people, and because...
we're mean girls.
And because we're a little bit nerdy and analytical, we've set up three criteria by which to judge them.
Amen. One being, of course, their outfits, because it is Fashion Week.
Hashtag Fashion King.
Hashtag NY Fashion Week. Number two is their actual interviews, the content.
Like, did they tell you stuff you didn't know before?
Exactly. How interesting was it?
Were you interested?
Yes. And then the third is, of course, the most important component of, well, most of these talk shows that we're going to be talking about, humor.
Humor. Like, were they funny?
Were they funny? How funny were they?
Did you lol? Or did you just kind of meh, you know?
Or did you LMAO?
Yeah.
It doesn't like roll off the tongue as well as it should.
I know. As well as it does via text.
All right, so who would you like to start with?
All right, we're going to start. Should we preview for them who we're going to go through? Or just,
yeah, we should.
All right.
So we're going to talk about everyone's not as...
four individuals first.
Four.
Russell.
The Brody.
Westbrook. Second. Alan.
Who was on Jimmy Fallon.
Yes. Second. Alan. The Hall of Famer Iverson.
On The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Third. Stephen. Wardell Stephen Curry. I actually know his name.
Wardell.
On.
Ellen.
Ellen. And fourth. Draymond Money Green. On. Conan. All right.
Conan doesn't get enough love.
You're right. We didn't even mention Conan.
I've had a celeb encounter with Conan.
He was very tall.
I literally was just staring at him.
Yeah.
And he caught me staring at, like, my mouth was open. I was just staring at him. He's 6'6". He's a huge redhead.
Right.
And I was just staring at him. And he goes, and I finally, like, wake up and look at him, and he's waving at me. He goes, hi.
That's really funny. I love that. All right. So...
Russ.
Kicking it off with Russ. So full disclosure on Russell. We're starting with the one we know the least about.
All right.
So that's where we'll put that caveat.
Yeah.
Russ, we couldn't find on Jimmy Fallon's YouTube, which is where we were consuming this, the interview portion with
Russ. The interview portion was not shown, which makes me believe that maybe it wasn't that good.
So we're giving Russ a zero on the interview. On the outfit, as you can imagine, the Brody came dressed to kill. Dressed to kill whom is questionable.
So. What did you think?
Okay, so he wore, let's describe a bit. He wore like a black hoodie.
Right.
And plaid pants. Red plaid pants.
And to me, honestly, they looked like a bit like pajama pants.
Well, so they look, my grandfather used to like exclusively wear high-waisted plaid pants. So all I could think about is like, and my grandfather was a baller. He played basketball at Northwestern. He was literally a baller.
I
aspire to be him.
Great jeans. You have great jeans.
Great jeans. And great jeans in my closet.
There's also a red flannel I'm staring at right now.
Yeah. So the Brody showed up in plaid. And I think it was, you know, not my favorite Brody look. He has been Instagramming from all the locations in New York City. And I'd like to actually ask the listeners a question. I'm toying with the idea of doing an Instagram series where I dress like Russell for like a week and then blog about it.
So based on outfits he has already worn.
And then like see how people treat me. Like somebody did this, some blogger did this with Lorelai Gilmore. and she dressed like Lorelai for a week. Like, what if I dressed like Russell for a week?
I'm in.
So all I'm saying is that related to the talk show, he was really like full swag. He had a lot of layers. He had a lot of denim all week, and then he was not his best look.
It really wasn't his best look. Yeah. He's looked a lot better.
It was like not. Maybe they gave him a dress code because I feel like he could have shown up in like, you know, a midriff shirt bearing top and crop pants and glasses and a hat.
Maybe his agent or publicist was like, you know, people, the audience for the show isn't quite as fashion forward as you. Why don't you make it more quote unquote mainstream?
That's
for the people to digest.
Do you think that Russell listens to fashion advice from anyone?
Great point.
Based on his track record. Maybe Nina.
Maybe Nina said tone it down for the people at home.
So really, I like that idea. Yeah. God bless Nina. And so his outfit was what it was. And so we didn't see his interview, but we did see him play a game.
Play toss that object or something?
Yeah, Jimmy Fallon does a lot of games, as you all know. And Fallon played a game with him called football with... Weird objects.
It was like toss that weird object.
Yeah, so they toss weird objects through a small hole like a football, and the goal is to make them. The long story short, neither of them made any.
And actually, it appeared that Russell Westbrook never. It's a good thing he didn't play football. Was he a quarterback?
Great point. I thought Russell is like a freak athlete.
He is a freak athlete, but his form was very
so poor. Questionable.
Very poor.
I mean, his brother Ray has been trying out for the NFL for like 10 years. You would have thought Ray had shown him something.
Clearly, like there's a reason Ray didn't make it, and there's a reason.
Stop saying that. I want Ray to come on the show. He's my number one coveted guest.
I'm sorry, Ray.
Ray, we love you, Ray.
I take it back.
What I would say in terms of humor, because we can't judge the interview, Russell's funny. He's cute. He was very funny.
He was pretty likable.
He was quiet, but like when they first asked him, they asked him to toss a mannequin through the hole. And the mannequin was wearing sunglasses and had all this flowy hair. It was like a lady mannequin with a hat. And Russell starts adjusting the hat and the sunglasses and combing the hair. And he's like, you got to style it first before you throw it through, which I really appreciated.
And then, of course, all of it fell off when he threw it in the air.
I know.
It was cute. I would give the humor, like, a 7?
I think that's fair out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So his outfit, I'm going to really, I think it was like a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, agree.
Russell, I just have such a high bar for Russell. He didn't meet it.
And we'll never know, because Jimmy Fallon, you didn't put the interview up.
I would also like to say that I think that game is not my favorite of Fallon's. I think there are ones where the person can talk more or show their personality more, and I wish Fallon had given Russ more space to just thrive, you know?
I mean, I think that he and, you know, us, we all assumed he could throw a football.
True. You're right.
And he can't.
You're right. They saw, like, athlete, he can do it. He couldn't.
All right. Shall we go to our next?
Yes.
Playa?
Allen. Allen's outfit.
Strong.
12 out of 10?
12 out of 10.
Allen Iverson.
Swagged out.
Rolls up to the Colbert Show in an all-white sweatsuit. A flat-brim New York Rangers hat.
Really decked out hat.
5 gold chains.
Yep.
And what I'm assuming are red Reebok sneakers.
I don't think I saw his feet. Did we see his feet?
Yeah, they're sneakers. But okay. He just, like, really... So what I appreciate about AI's style, and they touched on this in the interview, which we can talk about, is he really doesn't mess with, like, the new NBA. Neither does Jordan, really. Like, Jordan still dresses like literally the worst human in the world. Like, the worst dresser on the planet.
From what we know, besides his basketball career, he is the worst human in the world. So...
But he is the worst dresser ever.
Yeah, he's not.
And AI is just still... Like, he doesn't care about all these little boys in skinny jeans that are in the NBA now. He doesn't care that Draymond
wears
crop pants. He's wearing sweatsuits.
And he loves it.
And he's owning it so hard. And it's been a big week for him.
Huge week. NBA, Hall of Fame.
So what'd you think of his interview?
Basketball Hall of Fame, I'm sorry.
What'd you think of his interview?
I thought it was nice. It was very, I mean, it was a different tone than probably all three of the other talk shows, instances that we'll talk about. It was very, I mean, it was almost like, and that was, I think it was pretty clear that was the first time Colbert had ever met him.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a moment where they talked about him crossing up Michael Jordan.
So good.
So good. And it seemed, I don't know, it was kind of, it was nice, and it was kind of serious.
Colbert asked tough questions. Like, he led with, people never thought you would get in the Hall of Fame. They thought you didn't work hard enough. They thought you, like, the whole thing.
How does that make you feel?
How does that make you feel? Yeah. And Iverson's answer was amazing. And I also loved, my other favorite question was the question about the players of today. LeBron James is covered in tattoos, and nobody cares. And how much do they owe to you? Because it was like, everybody called AI a thug. And first of all, he was such a, like, humble, kind interview. I feel like I had bought, as a young kid and early adult, so much of what I had heard from the media about AI. And then I watched the 30 for 30 on his arrest in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely changed my entire view of him.
Right.
So if you haven't watched that, you definitely should. I think it was such an instance of a kid in a racially charged community being singled out both for his race and his fame, and early on put into a set of circumstances and system that it just, like, screwed him from the beginning.
I mean, he hasn't, I know it's as quote unquote privileged as these guys are, it's like, oh, really? He has one of the tougher paths, I think, that any of these NBA superstars have ever
forged. Reebok is still, like, holding out so much money from him.
Yeah. And he, I mean, yeah, he was not a favorite of the media.
At all.
Except in Philadelphia.
Right.
Except that one time when he's talking about practice.
But have you heard the backstory on that, even? Like, one of his best friends had just died. And so, like, even in the last year, it's kind of been revealed what was even behind
that.
He
doesn't even need to practice, okay?
That's true. He's too good.
Doesn't need to practice.
So what about his humor? I thought it was funny. He was not...
I mean, it wasn't... It was funny in a, like, low-key type of way when he said...
Right.
Little kids will still come up to me and say, oh, you're the guy that crossed up Michael Jordan.
Not your Allen Iverson. So, yeah, I would say his interview, his outfit was a 12 out of 10. His interview was a 14 out of 10. Like, it was a great interview.
It was a solid interview, but humor, I would say, like, a 4.
Yeah. No fault of AI. It's just not the context.
That's not his gig. He's not a comedian.
Right. Right.
He's there to not practice, you know?
All right.
Next one.
Well done, Allen. What a week for you.
Proud of you.
What a week for you. We're proud of you, bro.
I didn't wear three in high school in vain.
It wasn't for nothing. All right, Stefan. Wardell Stefan.
Whew.
On Ellen.
Well, I know I had been expressing earlier this summer that I was somewhat over the Currys.
I mean, I think at the beginning of the summer, the Currys had died.
Currys were really annoying.
People were not feeling the Currys one bit.
But I have to say, and I know you didn't expect this from me.
I'm about to get floored.
I watched the whole Ellen thing.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it.
Steph is really a nugget.
He smiles and there's like a little glow around him.
I know.
And
he permanently has that Snapchat filter with the little, like,
the little glow.
And the halo, the little yellow halo. All of a sudden,
my skin is clear. I'm glowing.
Right.
Like, my eyes are bigger.
And his eyes are still, like, bright and green. And he seems genuinely so happy.
And I know that a lot of people, like literally see what we're talking about and are like, oh, I fucking hate him.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is.
For me,
it's just a glow. It's a genuine glow.
So his outfit.
Well,
it was fine, right?
It was okay because of the game that they ended up playing.
Right.
I understand, but I am going to point out one fact that is slightly ridiculous. So he's wearing athletic gear, and at first I was like, what's the logo? And then I was like, oh, like SC, Stephen Curry.
Yeah.
Okay, get it. But he was wearing basketball shorts and then wearing, like, capri spandex underneath the basketball shorts.
Ready to go play a game.
No. I'm sorry. That's bullshit. and this whole trend in, like, the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years of players wearing, like, long spandex to, quote-unquote, like, keep their muscles warm.
They're compressed.
It's fucking bullshit. You don't need to wear that. All right.
I'm so glad with how much you've been cursing on this episode, so my mom won't yell at me.
I know.
Usually I'm the sailor.
It's been bad.
It's so good.
Because I've been working too hard this week.
A truck driver.
I've been hanging out with cameramen and stuff.
Okay, so Steph's outfit, I would say he, like, didn't try that hard. It was like a 5 out of 10.
Yeah.
His interview, though, so Steph was on this week when Ellen was co-hosted by
Michelle Obama.
Michelle Obama.
Michelle the First Lady Obama.
Right. Like, how do you get any better than that?
I mean, it was pretty good.
And the interview was hilarious because Ellen was like, so, Steph, I hear that you play golf with Obama. And then Michelle basically gave Steph a lesson in how to trash talk the president by telling him when he golfs that his ears are creating too big of a shadow so he can't putt, which was like, the fact that these two have been married, I saw Southside with You, the movie about their first date, because I'm a loser and an Obama junkie.
That's okay.
I guess in my defense, I was traveling for work and I was alone in a city, so I'm not the worst. But, so I went to the movie and it was, like, adorable to see their first date, and then they've been through all this stuff together and are still, like, so in love. And she's, like, probably the only person in the world who can trash talk the president. And the cutest thing was seeing Steph's face get all red and laughing and, like, I can't say that to the president.
It was really cute.
It was so cute.
It was really, really cute. And then... they played the game where Steph, and I, at first I was like, oh, this is so dumb, but, Steph was sitting under this, container, I guess, or this large tube of water balloons.
Yes.
And Michelle Obama and Ellen were pulling out the sticks that were keeping them.
It was kind of like Jenga for water balloons.
Yeah, yeah. And so... I don't know. Again, like, just Steph Curry just sitting there getting pounded with water balloons. Like, actually, the anti-Curry train would probably enjoy it as well.
I know, but his reaction was so adorable.
It was so cute.
You can just imagine him as a dad, and it really, like, melts my whole heart.
Just a little.
I just am such a... He's a nugget. Yeah, I'm such a junkie. I can't quit it. So, Steph did well. One brief shout-out I want to give to Ellen. Because I love her. It's been a big week for Ellen because not only did she have Michelle Obama co-host, she had Steph Curry on. Today she had on Chance the Rapper, who, as you know, is my current favorite, with, on The Ellen Show, remember, daytime television, 2 Chainz and Lil Wayne, and they performed their song No Problem.
Shut up.
They literally had a record office and destroyed a record office. The whole song is about going into a record label and, like, you don't want any problems with me.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing was destroying a record office. And then Chance the Rapper's interview with Ellen. If Chance were an NBA player, he would get a 10, 10, 10, 10, 10 because he wore overalls.
Shut up.
The performance was amazing. He was so adorable and funny. And the biggest thing is Lil Wayne ad-libbed a lyric to the song where he basically said... the thing about Ryan Lochte, there's a thing about Rob Me, and then he said, like Ryan Lochte, and then laughed. And so Lil Wayne, always the funniest.
I love Lil Wayne.
I couldn't let that die. I had to bring it up.
I love also Ryan Lochte. Just go away.
Right, Ryan Lochte. Ryan Lochte has had the opposite of Ellen's week.
Ryan Lochte.
All right, are you ready to close it out with our last one?
Yeah, let's do it. And I think it's a good one.
I think, okay, so we said we weren't going to rank them at the end. We were just going to judge them hard. Mm. But I'm sorry, this is the clear winner, right?
This was the clear winner. Oh, my God. I was like, there's no way that Allie disagrees with me on this one.
I mean, so I got off work. Well, I guess technically still have more work to do later today, but left work and watched this in the cab on the way here to podcast. It was laugh out loud hilarious. My cab driver definitely thought I was crazy.
It was so funny. It was so good. They talked about so many good things.
So Draymond Green was on Conan earlier this week.
Yes.
And Draymond, like...
I knew all about it from his snap.
Right. Because
Conan,
Draymond
backstage
is
Conan.
The snapper of the century, which I think is my biggest, like, laying the foundation for this interview and anything important to talk about, is Draymond going on any kind of talk show and not just, like, laying low for the rest of the summer post-Olympics.
Is a grave danger to everybody.
Is totally wild to me. Yeah. This man literally Snapchatted a photo of his male parts
to the universe.
And is still just out there. He just, like, loves himself. It is amazing.
You know what? People forgive and forget. Look at Bill Clinton. Right?
What if Draymond starts campaigning for Hillary with Bill?
Honestly, one day...
So many Slick Willy jokes, we can't even handle it.
One day we will have a president who was an NBA player. And I'm just gonna... Ooh. I'm gonna leave it there.
Who do you think will be first?
I don't know. Maybe that's a question for another podcast.
Kareem?
Shh.
Okay. So Draymond shows up fashion. On point. It was the lowest point of the interview.
I didn't love it because it's not that I didn't like what he had a plaid shirt.
Yeah.
and then like a white shirt underneath.
Yeah, and some chains.
It was because it was brown. Yeah, it was an ugly plaid.
I very much just like the color. I'm gonna give him a few style points though. I think it was put together. And I think you wore capri khakis, which I appreciated. I think the capri look is
like
flattering.
Manpris?
Yeah, manpris. I think they're flattering.
But not spandex ones.
No, you can't wear spandex ones under your shirt. Khaki ones. Like, think Rafa Nadal.
Yeah, yeah.
Comes to Conan.
Okay, noted.
So the fashion was the low point. The interview, though.
Fire.
Money. Draymond Green gave me so many factoids that I didn't even know.
And that was the beauty of it. And that's, like, you got so much new information about the Warriors and everybody. So we talked about how, they talked about, you know, the Olympics and, you know, how come he doesn't wear his gold medal around all the time. Yeah. By the way, Kevin Durant wore his gold medal on Monday to the Redskins game in hopes that it would bring them good luck.
Wait, but the best part of that story is he brought that up and followed it with, we're on a group text message chain.
The Olympic team has a group text message chain.
That is what I want WikiLeaks to hack.
How do we hack that?
Hack that. Dear Russia, quit with the presidential election and please hack the USA Olympic team Snapchat.
No, not Snapchat.
Group chat.
Group chat.
Are you a group chatter?
I am in some group chats.
I'm like a destroyer of group chats because I talk too much.
I prefer not to be. Okay.
So that was the biggest reveal to me.
That was a huge reveal.
I want to be on that group chat so badly.
Now we know that they're... Oh God, I just wonder what's in that. You know, I bet you it's a gold mine.
I bet they say the most ridiculous stuff. And he also told us that the Warriors play credit card roulette.
Huge.
When they pay for meals, which is, credit card roulette is my biggest fear.
I refuse to play.
I once went on a date, like, with someone, with all of his friends, and I was in grad school, and they were all, like, adult working humans making money.
Instead of losing money, they played credit card roulette,
and I just sat there, like, it was a dinner for 15 people. So credit card roulette, for those who don't know, you put your credit cards into the hat at the end of the meal. It's the most absurd and obscene game in the entire world.
Everyone puts their card in, and then you keep picking them out, and the last one left pays for everyone's meal. And drinks.
And the Warriors do this.
Because they all make millions of dollars.
Right.
But he was saying Festus Ezeli would, like, be sweating bullets.
Yeah, he was like, Festus is sweating. Like you can't pay $2,000. And I was like, I'm sweating bullets because I literally can't pay $2,000 for dinner.
It was like, that's my rent, at
least. Yeah, exactly. Right. So they play credit card roulette, which is absolutely ridiculous and hilarious.
And there was some trash talking about Kevin Hart, which was always
The Kevin Hart trash talk was amazing.
Always good.
Love Kevin Hart. Love when NBA players trash talk him. And can't wait to see Kevin Hart's response, because I'm sure it will be absolutely outrageous.
I also just love anything with Kevin Hart and NBA players, because inevitably there's a photo or video, and you are reminded of how tiny of a man
he is. He's so small.
I feel like both of us would be able to look completely over his head.
It's so true. Group chat was my fave. I also just thought, so I thought interview was like 15 out of 10. He had all the facts. He was easy to talk to.
He had the comedic timing.
And then the humor was also a 10 at least. Draymond.
He crushed it.
Draymond crushed it. Okay, so before we sign off, I just want to ask Ellie one question.
Oh, God. What is it?
So there were two late-night talk show hosts that we didn't touch on this week. Or I guess more than if you count Seth and et cetera. But our core crew.
Jimmy's.
Yeah, so Jimmy Kimmel. Mm-hmm. I love when he does NBA mean tweets. That's so good.
NBA mean tweets.
Those are so funny. But my question for you is, what NBA star would you most like to see do carpool karaoke with James Corden?
I don't know. I'm just going to say the first name that popped in. DeAndre Jordan.
That is so random. I don't know why. Do you think DeAndre Jordan would fit in a car, or would have to be a convertible? Next question.
Let's make it a convertible to be safe.
Okay.
And I don't know. It seems perfect.
Totally and he plays random. Clippers. Right. He can do it. So yeah. This is a message to you.
James Gordon.
Go find him.
Let me shoot him an email.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Have a great weekend.
Bye, guys.